Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where it is our desire to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. If you were ever to come and visit me at my office, you would see a picture on my wall that I am able to look at and see every day from my desk. It's a picture of a harvest field with some handmaidens working in it who are just simple peasant servants of no status or esteem, but they're all working, laboring together in their corner of the harvest field, hard at work. The picture actually portrays them stooping and bending over, gathering in stalks and sheaves of grain, gleaning in the fields for the harvest. The picture is actually called The Gleaners. It's a famous oil canvas painting by a French artist from the late 1850s. But here in America, the picture became even more popular and well-known among the farmers and the grain harvesters in our land, especially early in the 1900s. In fact, one of the first reliable and early combines made here in America was called The Gleaner, and it was named after this famous painting. The picture of the gleaners is important to me, not only because I'm a farmer's daughter from the Midwest, but because the picture tells my life story. Soon after I rededicated my life to the Lord when I was 15 years of age, God began to turn my world upside down, all for the good and all for God. The Lord was remaking me into a new person from the inside out. My desires changed, my habits changed, my friends changed, my dreams changed, and my pursuits and my passions in life were all made new. I remember one day early in the morning before school, I was upstairs in my room, reading God's Word, just spending time with the Lord, pouring out my heart to Him in prayer. While I was praying and talking to the Lord, deep within me, a desire came welling up from within. And I remember saying to the Lord, "Lord, I just want to serve You the rest of my life, and I want to be used of You in any way that You desire." But almost as soon as I said those words, I caught myself thinking almost an immediate dismissing thought that hit my heart like a rock. I thought, well, that's never going to happen because I'm not like one of those holy people. I don't even deserve to be in ministry. I'm not a missionary hero, and I never will be. Not long after that, my family traveled down to North Carolina over spring break on a vacation, and we stayed at a Christian ministry place. While we were there walking around the inside of the shopping area, and especially the Christian bookstore, I saw a large picture hanging on the wall in the middle of the hallway that caught my eye. I stopped and just stared, looking at it for a while. It was a large mural picture of the gleaners that I had never seen before. While I was looking and thinking about the picture, it was as if the Lord came near and whispered deep into my soul and said, "Katrina, I want you to be one of my harvesters working in my harvest fields." My heart was moved for a moment, but then deep within, those questions started to come back out. How could God use me? Why would God even want to use me? I don't think this can happen. I don't see how this can work. About a year later, when I was 16 years of age, I attended a missions conference at my church in Findlay, Ohio. I remember it was a Sunday morning, and I was sitting near the front listening to the missionary speaker and taking notes. The missionary was a missionary to Africa, and he was preaching from the book of Joel, from Joel chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and his words came out ringing into my ears. "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe, multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." I remember I was writing down those very words, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe," and it was like the Lord just stopped me mid-sentence and spoke clearly into my ear and then down deep into my heart and said, "Katrina, I want you to put ye in the sickle." I turned and I immediately looked around to see who said that because it was so clear, but there was no one on my right. I was sitting on the aisle side. Then I turned and looked at my friend who was sitting next to me on the left, but she hadn't said anything and she had no idea what had just happened. And then I knew. This was the Lord. My heart welled up and flooded with joy because I knew that the Lord was affirming and confirming the desire that He had put in my heart all along to serve Him. And I was just overwhelmed and my heart was flooded with joy. But the thought that I couldn't get over then, and even still to this day, some 30 years later, was that God was calling me to put ye in the sickle and to go out into the harvest field. You know, I love the biblical imagery of the harvest field. Many times in Scripture, we see our Lord even using the picture of the harvest field to teach His disciples, to teach His followers about ministry. One of the first times we see it is in the Gospel of John, with the story of Jesus and the woman at the well in Samaria. Do you remember the story? The disciples, they didn't want to go back to Galilee from Jerusalem that way. The disciples, they preferred to travel around Samaria and avoid all the Samaritans in the land altogether. But Jesus said to them, "We must needs go through Samaria." Jesus had said that they had to go, so the disciples followed and they went. But still the disciples were slow in getting what this missions field trip was really all about. When they came to a well in the midst of the Samaritans, Jesus rested and waited for his divine appointment to come, while his disciples left to go out and get some lunch. Jesus was busy working and feeding others the truth, while his disciples were only busy and thinking about feeding only themselves. When the disciples came back, they were shocked to see Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman, but they were even more shocked to see her drop a water jug and run and tell others in the Jewish no-go there land, "Come, see, for I found the Messiah. He is here. You need to come. You need to see. You need to believe on him too. Come." All this time, Jesus knew exactly what was going through his disciples' minds, but he also knew that they needed to see a picture of ministry. Jesus said, "Look around you, lift up your eyes. Don't say that the harvest is 4 months away and then it comes, but look and see that the harvest is here among you right now. The harvest is ripe and ready to harvest right here before your very eyes." Now, I know that's a major paraphrase from the words of Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 35, but the words and the message of Jesus are so clear. The disciples of Jesus then and the disciples of Jesus today, we will miss the harvest of opportunities all around us unless we lift up our eyes and look and see a world of people in need, a world of people who need to know, who need to come and believe on Jesus, because Jesus is the Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Son of God. But notice what Jesus also said. We should not be so focused on a future harvest of one day when, but we should be rather far more concerned about the harvest that is ripe right in front of us, right this day, before our eyes. I often share with our CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, summer missionaries who work with us and alongside us during the summer, that missions isn't just something that is out there, over there, and on the other side of the ocean. But missions and opportunities to serve the Lord and share the gospel are right in front of us and are all around us, including sharing the gospel to children, this next generation, who need to hear and know about the Lord. The children, they're watching us closely. They're seeing all that we do, and they're wondering what we believe and why we believe. But even more importantly, the children are ripe for the harvest and are longing for someone to just come alongside of them and share with them the truth about Jesus and the truth about their sin and the truth about their need for Christ and salvation only through him. The children need someone to have a relational conversation with them, gently showing to them the way to Jesus and inviting them to come and believe on Jesus because he is the Son of God. But Jesus doesn't just want our eyes to look and see. He also wants our hearts to be filled with compassion and love. And then he wants us to drop down to our knees in compelling prayer. You know, the Bible in the book of Matthew in chapter 9, it paints this harvest picture the best. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." These verses have so much packed in them, but when I read them, two major thoughts stand out to me. First, when we truly see people and their need for a shepherd and knowing the true shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts should be moved and filled with compassion for them to know the Lord. But not only should our hearts be moved for the people and their needs, but for also our hearts should be moved for more shepherds, for more ministers of the gospel who will help meet the people's needs and lead them to God and feed them and teach them God's word. And this is exactly what Jesus was saying, that when we see people and see the vast harvest field needs, we should fall on our knees and pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth the laborers into his harvest field. When I read these verses, it takes me right back to that picture of the gleaners. Yes, there are three peasants hard at work laboring in the harvest field from sunup to sundown, but the harvest field is so wide, it's so vast, and there are so many needs, it's just not enough. One of the greatest challenges in ministry is in learning, often the hard way, that one person or even a few people in ministry can never do it all because the needs are just so great. Every person in ministry needs a team of harvesters working with them shoulder to shoulder, but also every person needs a team of harvesters surrounding them, encouraging them, supporting them, and cheering them on. The Apostle Paul even echoes these same words in Romans chapter 10. He says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Right now, we are entering into our most busy time of the year for Child Evangelism Fellowship. We are busy all year round, but summertime in CEF is harvest time, when we step it up and take it up to the next level. Why? Because the children are out of school. This is summertime. It's vacation Bible school partnering with churches time. It's summer camp time at Camp Good News. It's fair ministry and festivals outreach time. It's backyard Bible club, five-day club teaching time. Now is a time to reach the children with the gospel, and it's time to turn it on and go out there with our beautiful feet that God has blessed us with and sharing with them the beautiful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't just need one or two feet. We need many feet. We need many laborers for the Lord to raise up and send out into the harvest field right here in Illinois. Just this past week, we had our statewide staff meeting where we came together as a team to plan out our two-week summer missionary training school that we hold every year at Camp Good News in the first couple weeks in June. As we went around the table and shared, I was stunned to hear and amazed how the Lord was providing summer missionaries all around the state from the top to the bottom, from the east to the west. We have right now 60 to 70 young people, high school through college age, who are committing themselves, filling out their applications, raising their support to serve the Lord and step out and give of their summer to reach boys and girls for Christ. Our CEF staff was so excited. We just began to clap and praise the Lord for what He is doing. We so appreciate your prayers and would ask that you would please pray for us, because we have an enemy that would love to distract our students and our staff and throw anything at them to discourage them and keep them from serving the Lord effectively this summer, because it's harvest time and he knows that too. Pray also for our summer missionaries, for their provisions. All of our CEF summer missionaries, as well as our staff and our offices, we all need our support to all come in this summer, because the cost of ministry in summertime, it only goes up and never down, and there are just so many needs. We also appreciate your prayers for the children that we'll be ministering to this summer. Just to give you an idea, last summer, our Child Evangelism Fellowship summer missionaries and our staff reached over 3,300 children just in the summertime, and over 400 of those children made a personal profession of faith in Christ just last year. We just can't wait to see what God is going to do even this coming summer. If there's one thing that I've learned about ministry through the years, it's that ministry is not just about seeing people and their needs and praying for God to raise up others with a heart for ministry and to be sent out to the harvest field, but also that ministry for every person in ministry is hard work. Ministry is not just for the short term. Ministry is for the long term. The gleaner's picture that I see in my office every day reminds me that ministry is not easy, and that ministry is never meant to be easy. It is hard work, but we do have one who has promised to come alongside us to be our helper and lifts the ministry load for us as we seek to labor together, being yoked together with him, for this, after all, is his harvest field, not ours. But I also remember what the Lord spoke into my heart that day so many years ago. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Why? Because of the day of the Lord is coming, and the night is drawing near when no one can work. The harvest is ripe now, and there are people of all ages from all walks of life who need to come and hear and believe on Christ, and that includes children too. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and please continue to pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers to be raised up and sent out all throughout this land, so that this generation and all the future generations yet to come would know Christ.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. So please tell me.